Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776 is the number for everybody listening. And that includes Ric Flair.
Yes. Woo!
I mean, you got...
Choose violence, Alan.
You got the Stones. You're going to come out... Like we're too old to do Twitter beef.
Yeah.
And by the way, what's he doing on Instagram? I mean, old people are supposed to be on Facebook.
They're supposed to be on InstaChat. I thought it was InstaChat.
Whatever it is. It just, we're too old to be doing this social media beef. You want to have a chat. You got something to say to me. Where to find me.
Listen, before the weekend started, I was like, okay, biggest beef going on. Okay, Kendrick Lamar, Drake. Then I was like, okay, nope. It's Rick Ross and Drake. Nope. And then I got smacked in the face. You know what I'm saying? I say, oh, man, Ric Flair coming after my dog. I tried to play peacemaker, but if I got to side with one cat, you know who I'm siding with. So I say, you know what? I choose violence, too.
You know what I mean?
It's a settlement in the ring.
By the way, how about, when you did your thing, way to have our back, Keyshawn, right?
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you were Keyshawn in that thing. Tom Jackson, Mike
Greenberg. I'm saying. I try to remind him who I was.
Mike Greenberg, Greeny jumped right off the ship. He's like, no, he should come on my show, and then the two of us can go after you. And I'm like, is this what you're doing?
Greeny's sitting there acting like Bobby the Weasel Heenan. He's acting like Bobby the Brain the Weasel Heenan. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's making alliances. You know what I'm saying? But like Van Damme told Attila, told your boy when he picked Attila, you chose wrong. You better come back to the right side, Greeny. Because if you over there, Greeny, and then you become their Jimmy Hart. I don't know.
I don't know. How this
we got to bring. We have to bring either Terrific Tom, who can be Teddy Love, or we can bring in Jake, and he can play the role of Slick. You know what I'm saying? The rapping brother that was the pimp, you know what I'm saying, WWE.
I need my own Hart Foundation. I need my own Hart Foundation. I mean, that's what we need here. All this stuff is, first of all, you remember, I don't know when it was, like a couple of months ago, he did Shay Shay's podcast, right?
Yep, and he came at you,
And he called me out by name on that podcast, and I let that go. Remember, we played it, we laughed, and that was it. We let it go.
But I can appreciate that he using names, you know what I'm saying? No code words, no the tall, handsome guy with the blue eyes, piercing blue eyes. I'm glad he's not doing that.
Well,
at least he named names.
But then yesterday, and I like here's the thing.
That was a straight too for no reason.
Yesterday,
you on his mind.
6:20 p.m. This man goes to Twitter and Instagram, and he does this. I'm sorry to report to you, and he added me that LeBron recorded another triple double a year after you called him an old man. You stupid SOB! It's so embarrassing to have you report about sports. When I see you on Get Up or First Take, I turn the TV off. He goes, King James triple-double, the Lakers
LeBron
march.
LeBron James.
Now, look, first of all, the man is in the play-in. This what was – he's in the play-in.
Triple-double, you know,
the
champion,
the last championship he's winning is the in-season tournament. I was there when they hung the banner. I was in the building when they hung the banner. How about this? I walked through that tunnel out of the Laker locker room, and I went from the Laker locker room through the tunnel and out into the court at Staples, Crypto, whatever. Right, so I go out, and you know what's on the floor walking out? In-season tournament champions. This is what we're doing. So right there, you're celebrating a triple-double, and he's going to be in a play-in. Start there. Then never mind that. And I said all this on Get Up.
Then I watched the show. Yeah, I watched the show today, baby.
I mean, and
was that
nobody talks
Blue?
About how old he is than him himself. LeBron talks all the time about old. Hashtag washed king. Talking about his age. That's what he does. So last year when I made that reference, I said it's the – and we could probably find it. I said it's the first time I can say he looked old. And I remember the game. He looked old. That fourth quarter, he looked old. It was the first time he couldn't finish.
Last year he ran out of gas. And he said he's in better shape this year than he was last year.
He did.
And that's fair. But, listen, Listen, I understand.
Here's the take. Here's the take. Ready? This is from last year during the Western Conference Finals. This is what I said. Tell me this is vicious.
LeBron James' battery is drained. It's like an old iPhone. When you plug it in and try to charge it up, it never gets back to 100%. He might be at that point now. We have never really seen him like that. He still can defend. There's a lot of things that he still can do on the court because of his high IQ and still his skill level. But when you see things like that, a missed layup low, he can't finish a dunk on a fast break. He's easily defended because he's not jumping over you. I mean, look at this play right here. Is it slippery hands or is it just like I said, he isn't physically as dominant as he used to be?
I mean, is that hate? I'm giving you my observations of a player I've been watching for his entire career. Yes. I've covered him his entire career.
I think it's fair to say that he's no longer in his prime. Now,
it's very fair.
He's playing at a high level. Everybody has done that. We've seen
that. He's still remarkable as a player.
Is he beyond reproach? I mean, didn't we come at Tom Brady because he was sleepy, didn't know what time it was? Didn't he win a championship after that?
Bar, let me ask
you a
question.
Didn't we come after Peyton Manning and say he was a passenger?
Listen, you're a wrestling guy, right? You love wrestling, right? You were involved in it yourself personally.
Ric Flair has been there.
Yes. You've been there.
That's my
guy. All right. This is what I'm saying about his nickname is the Nature Boy, right?
Nature's undefeated.
Now, is he Nature Boy or is he Fanboy now? Like, which one is it? Which one are you now? Are you Nature Boy or are you Fanboy now? Because what you're doing right now, that's Fanboy stuff.
Yeah, he's attaching himself to greatness.
Embarrassing
yourself. But he don't need
yourself.
To because he's already
great. Like, he's too great of a character in our generation
for him
to be going out like this. I'm not letting him do it. I told him to call into the show. I don't know if it's nap time at the facility. I don't know if right now,
during this time of the day,
it's time for him to take a little nappy poo.
Because you know he's smoking
because
that
he is of age. But if he wants to call in, he knows the number. And he's got to call in, and we can have it out on the air.
You got to beat the man. Woo!
But that's what I'm saying. We might have to choose violence, man. We might have to settle in the ring. I'll take the brick, you take Nature Boy. You know what I'm saying? We get her done. Beat him in his own move. Get him in the finger four leg lock. Woo!
Woo!
I've
been looking for a fight, son.
We need to clip my woo because I think I nailed it.
And I don't know if you remember the time. I forgot who it was. I think it was The Rock over Hulk Hogan. He was like, I'm sorry, because he was his hero and he hit him in the head. I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to get him, pick him up in a powerbomb. I'm sorry, Rick. I'm sorry. Oh, woo. Oh, man. That's what I'm talking about, though, son. Listen, the whole world, listen, the sun's out. Everybody a little agitated. Everybody feeling good about it. So everybody jacked up on Mountain Dew. That's just where he is, man.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, man. But listen, the
fact
is. I
want to hear from the people on this. Whose side you on? You got to choose your side now. You got to plant your flag now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know there's a lot of wrestling fans out there. There were a lot of people telling me that he cut a promo on me. And they said I got cooked.
And clearly,
so whose side you got? You got me because I clap back now. Whose side you got? How did I do for my first? I cut my first promo. How did I do?
You did good, man.
It was pretty good, right?
Clearly, Hercules. Clearly, Greeny has chosen his side. He's dead to us.
Hercules.
He's
dead to us because what happens is if Greeny's getting beat up. If Greeny's get beat up, we can't run out of the back from the dressing room to go help Greeny. We just got to watch it and say, hey, we won't participate in any Greeny slander or beat up, but we can't come out and rescue him. He's on his own now.
He already decided who he's going to be loyal to.
You done chose wrong, Greeny.
That whole segment, as I'm doing my thing, like he's jumping in, like going, no. Like he was taking Ric Flair's side. So now we know going forward that Greeny, he's not with us.
So we got to go anti-Greeny.
We
got
to work
together. Right.
We got to work together. I got more get-ups to do this week.
Yeah.
We're going to work together. But now I understand. So when you notice something on the air, you're like, wow, it's really like
you got to keep your eye on him.
It's business.
You just never know. You know what I'm saying? He might hand Rick the foreign object to hit you in the head when the ref ain't looking, man.
Do you know what I mean? Like he might hold me. Like, right, grab my arm so I can't lift my arms up. And then let Ric Flair come in and do whatever the hell he does.
Does he get
up out of the chair anymore? Does he need help? I don't even know. He's that old.
He can distract the ref. You know what I'm saying?
Like, listen,
Mike Tyson got a lot of these old guys believing in themselves again. You know what I'm saying? He's smoking them doobies. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I think Rick got his own weed line.
He does. So and Mike Tyson, you told me he's not going to smoke right now because he's going to have that fight with Jake Paul. So he's not smoking right now. Maybe what's happening here is that Ric Flair is just like dabbing a little too much with the extra stuff laying around.
Yeah, he got, he got Mike's access. But here's another thing that you said that was really interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, when what you were saying, like, and the fact that, you know, it may be advantageous. I got that from my boy. I borrowed that from a guy. See, I got that from my guy Clyde. I got that from my guy Clyde the Glide. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It might be advantageous for them to if they, you know, they don't want to face Denver. So they might have to duck. And what did he say if they get swept by Denver? Then what does the Nature Boy say?
Whoa!
You know what I mean? Like, that it's a very likely chance that if they have to face Denver, that they go home night-night real quick and start figuring out how to get Bronny James to the Lakers so he can live at home.
I kind of like that. We have a response from Ric Flair.
Oh, got a response.
So he retweeted
Tricky Ricky
the video of me, you know, clapping back on Get Up This Morning.
Ah.
And he said, absolutely, give me a number to call in. So I just tweeted him back with the number. He said this. He said, I've had drinks with Wilt Chamberlain in Honolulu. That's a story I need to hear.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
He said, I talk to Jerry West on a regular basis. Every time I see Michael Jordan, he said, what's up, old man? I've known him since he was 19. I talked to Shaq and Charles Barkley on a regular basis. Let's do this.
Oh, so he's saying because he's talked to him that he know more about basketball.
And he said,
than
I'm
you.
All about. First of all, he goes, I'm all about being on First Take, wrong show, with my man Mike Greenberg.
See, you got he walking into something he didn't even know.
He's got the number. I just sent him the number. So let's go. Let's do this. But I need to know who's with me though, right?
Yeah, we need
you either
to
with me or you're against
pick
me.
Your sides. Like right now, we know we got Birdman, we got Weezy F Baby, you know what I'm saying, on Drake's side. You know what I mean? I'm sure that means Nicki Minaj and them because they're all Young Money. Mm-hmm. Then on the other side, you got Metro Boomin, you got Kendrick Lamar, you know what I'm saying? You got Ricky Rose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, J. Cole bowed out. J. Cole was like, nah, I don't want no smoke, man. Like, listen, nah, I'm good. He apologized. Said, I'm sorry. Took the diss song down. You know what I mean? Tell Greeny, listen, can't switch up now once you see you on the losing side. You can't switch up now, Greeny.
No.
See, I know what Greeny doing. He going with star power. He going with name recognition.
Oh, so I'm not big enough names, that was you saying?
Exactly. He trying to align with Amazon. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I'm a rando, right? Like I'm a. There was a guy. There was one of the comments was wondering why Ric Flair was going after some guy that nobody cares about. Like that's the kind of responses you get here.
It's
like,
okay.
I'm a rando.
It's okay.
That's
okay.
Like, okay. All right. That's how we're doing this. Well, you're gonna remember me now.
Yeah.
Now listen. I know we have a lot to get to today.
Oh, yes. Yes, we got plenty of time for that, though. We got plenty of time for that because
hey,
I was nervous last night.
Welcome to the playoffs.
I was nervous last night, son.
We are here, and there's so much. The Knicks win a game.
Bong,
gives
bing.
Them 50, gets them the second seed. But all around the building yesterday, I kept getting people that were going, should we win this game?
Yeah.
Should we? Are you sure we should win this game? And a lot of Knicks fans were kind of –
nervous.
Like there was a lot of anxiety of you want to win, but is it the best thing to do? Because what you win is the possibility of playing either the Sixers or the Heat in the first round.
I don't care.
And it's like, you know, the feeling is Embiid and the Sixers, tough opponent. And then, of course, the Miami Heat, we all know that's just going to be a brawl, and who wants that, right?
Yeah, who wants to be running 20 miles or running, chasing these damn young Pacers around, trying to, you know.
Well, that would have been the other
option.
Play the Pacers, drop to the third and play the Pacers. If you'd lost that game,
I'm trying to avoid Boston until I'm ready. Until I hope that they've taken some body blows.
Well, that's why you wanted to stay in the 2-3.
Yeah,
you needed to stay in the 2-3 so that you could make sure that you avoid Boston to the very end. Boston's going to have to play,
and we won't
also
home court,
either Philly or Miami, or potentially the Bulls are. I wouldn't count the Bulls out in the play-in. By the way, they're playing their tails off down the stretch,
right,
man.
That's what I'm saying. So, let Joel Embiid lean on Porzingis and hurt his knee or back.
But think about it: if you get the Sixers, you got three bigs to throw at Embiid and try to wear him down. Remember, he did tweak the knee in the previous game. They sat him out just for rest. Like they said, he could have played if he had to and all that stuff. But I don't care. They sat him out anyway. You sat him. He also had a little tweak in the previous game, And now he's got to play at least one play-in game before he sees my – and I got three bigs I can throw at him. I can give you Hartenstein, I can give you Mitchell Robinson, and I can give you Precious Achiuwa. And I'm just going to keep Jericho Sims.
I might throw Sims in there. Just put the afro up in his face.
Yeah, think about it. Like, that's 24 fouls.
I want Jericho Sims leaning on him, running the court, and I want him blowing in his ear like Lance Stevenson. You know what I'm saying? Hey, yo, who's this little light bread dude sitting up here, man, blowing in my ear, man? I'm going to punch him in the face. Yeah, punch me in the face. Punch me in the face, chump. You heard me, punk. Punch me in my suit.
Touch me in my suit. 800-919-3776. There's all of that. There's something interesting that Brian Daboll said or didn't say about Darren Waller.
Oh, God.
That y'all need to hear, right? Mm. That's today. The Jets.
Ooh.
Aaron Rodgers shows up, and they have new uniforms. Do you like them?
They said they were going to reveal them. They did.
Yeah. You like any of that? So all that going on. We got tons of you get Doc Gooden yesterday. Islanders-Rangers on Saturday was an absolute scorcher.
I saw them everywhere. I saw them everywhere, man. I saw the fans, the aftermath. Huh?
Oh, it was that was special. Like, that was something. So that game, just another example of, yes, we need a series between these two. So, I mean, that's the menu, everybody. If there's anything I'm missing, let me know. I mean, the Yankees lost yesterday. They had a chance to sweep against Cleveland. They blew the game late.
What about the Mets?
Tell me about your Mets.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, Doc Gooden was celebrated yesterday. That's one thing. So much to get to.
Daryl Strawberry with the pop-up.
Well, we got, like I said, we've got a lot to get to, but the calls are going to be a big part of the day, so let's get right to it. 800-919-3776. As we are waiting to see if Ric Flair does, in fact, call into the show. He says he will, and so we'll have to have it out with him as well on the LeBron take. Because there's a Laker take also that we had on Get Up that we also have to discuss. Man, lots to get to. So Steve in... Where are you at, Steve? Leonardo?
Cucamonga. What's up, Hart? What's up, hon? Yeah, Leonardo, New Jersey. You're talking the Jersey Rattlesnake. So first off, let me just say I'm surprised Ric Flair found a clip of Hon without Bart Scott over there talking all over it. So let's just acknowledge that for a second.
Oh, damn. Oh, he came at you now, Bart.
I'm catching a stray.
Yeah, thank you all. You get random clip from a year ago. It has nothing to do with him. It's between Han and LeBron. Nothing to do with the nature man over there, Ric Flair. All right, just putting his hit in out of nowhere. Nothing to do with it. He picked the greatest in New York. Now all of New York has Han's back. He got the Jersey Rattlesnake
over
here.
Not granny.
Everybody
not
else listening to this later, ladies. Got your back, Han. Don't you worry.
Appreciate the Jersey Rattles too, man.
How should we reprimand Greeny then? Because he chose wrong. He didn't choose New York.
We don't have to. He has to live with it. He has to live with it. Chris on Long Island. What's up, Chris?
Hello?
Chris, what's up, man?
Oh, you're hi. Oh, it's Artie in Long Island. How you doing,
Artie,
man?
Artie. Okay, Artie.
Maintain.
Yeah, you remember I broke my TV last time we spoke off that damn Knicks loss to Houston. But how y'all doing?
All is forgiven. All is forgiven now because it didn't come back to hurt us. We still got the second. So it's all good.
That's right.
We're looking good. We're looking real good. Before I give on my Knicks take, I want to just say I'm riding with you, Allen Hahn, but are you sure? You know, we picking the right battles. I'm riding with you. It's almost like we saddling up to go.
Yeah, you got to ride.
Deal with
ride.
like a handicap or something, huh?
Regulators.
I mean, this guy done fell out. This guy done crashed in a plane.
Listen,
you know
listen,
what I mean.
When somebody comes out,
I look sympathy for that guys mean, that survive plane crashes.
I didn't pick this. It chose me.
That means he's weakened.
You know what I mean? It chose me.
Yeah.
I didn't choose this.
Right. You right. I'm riding with you, though. I'm riding with you. I'm on team.
Appreciate you.
As far as the Knicks, I got one more thing about Ohtani after I'm done with the Knicks. As far as addressing who we should play, I'm a believer in, like, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Mm. You know, we're looking like the man right now. So we got to go against the man. Whatever path it is to get to Boston, I want Boston. Same way that LeBron and them should want Denver. You got to overcome your demons, okay? And my last take is this guy Shohei is in charge. I feel like he's just getting railroaded, okay? I feel like he's more scared to go back to Japan than he is to sit in the fence. I'm like, this Yakuza thing is real over there, and nobody's talking about that, okay? And
what? You talking about the mafia?
Yeah, is that what he's talking about?
Oh, yeah, for sure, because Yakuza is big in Japan, and they follow the baseball, and they're involved in everything to the top politically, okay? Wow. And second of all, I'm telling you right now that Pete Rose didn't make enough money on baseball. He didn't make enough money for baseball for them to not railroad him. Ohtani's making baseball so much money.
Yeah.
Ohtani could have bet on baseball, and they're still not going to do anything. I'm telling you that right now.
Chris,
he could have did everything they said. If everybody's going to be involved to cover it up. And that's my personal belief.
All right, Artie. I mean, you could hear the conspiracy theories flying already on a Monday. How about that? Like, nobody wants to believe, even though the Department of Justice is saying that Ohtani had no idea, that he was not involved. All their investigation showed this, and people still – I've seen it ever since that was announced, right? Ever since the Attorney General came out and said all that, there was – everybody keeps saying, nah, he was involved, definitely involved. Nobody wants to believe that he wasn't involved. Chris in New Jersey. Chris.
Alan, Bart, what's going on?
What's happening?
Man, Alan, I got your back, man. You there's no way that you ain't gonna win against Ric Flair, man.
Appreciate you.
I mean especially because we're standing on business. We're standing on facts. If you look at the words and what he said was very fair. At some point,
and it wasn't even hate. Like, I've actually been real. I've admired LeBron his whole career.
If anybody's hating, it's me. I call him LeBrick James.
Yeah, you do hate.
But that's just because he beat my Pistons and put 25 points up in one quarter, you know what I'm saying, and sent my guys home and in my dynasty. That's all.
It's true.
Not personally.
Alan, you know more about sports than most anybody else on this station. I love listening to you guys. I listen to you guys every day at lunch. You give the best takes, and you're even though you're a New York fan, you're very, you know, you're not biased against what's true and what's facts.
Oh. I mean, that's what we try to do, Chris. I appreciate that, man. That's the kind of call we're looking for, because that's what we're trying to do here. Eli in Washingtonville. Eli.
Hey, Han, what's going on? Listen, 100% backing you on this one, because you have to forgive LeBron fans, because LeBron fans are delusional. Like,
they're like Beyonce fans. They're like the Beehive, man.
Yeah. They always confuse longevity with greatness. Like, they're always putting up stats on every social media, points and assists and everything.
I mean, 25 points per game average for 20 years is pretty freaking ridiculous, though. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, but we gotta agree that he's not what he was 10 years ago. Nobody is.
No, but he still plays at a high level. He's still one of the top. Where would you put him? What is he right now? Would you put him in the top 10 in the NBA still?
I don't know if
you can't name 10 players better than him in the NBA.
I don't know about that.
Seriously, top 10.
I don't know about that.
But I'm with Eli, though, because here's the thing: is like you said, what do you call it? The Beehive, right? Beyonce.
Yeah.
I think this is like the LeBronterage.
Rick is part of the ball,
right? Like, there's a whole thing they call it the LeBronterage. That's what I would call it, because you have all these people that are just in it, and they are committed to it. Where the littlest thing that is said or tweeted, they come at you with daggers. And you're like,
holding on to it. This dude brought a beef up a year ago.
Yeah, no, that's the problem. See, again, that's what Ric Flair did. He can't let it go.
This like Pusher T coming back at Drake. Like, bro, like, yeah. I thought we was done with this.
Well, I mean, seriously, it was last spring, but he did it twice. So he didn't get the response he wanted after he went on Club Shay Shay, right? Like, when he's bringing me up to Shannon Sharp, and Shannon Sharp's like nodding along, like, who the hell is Alan Hunt, right? Like, that. When Shannon's like nodding along, and like you could tell, like reading his mind, it's like, who the hell is that?
Like, what?
But then he has
research
to come out and say it here. Like, man, I don't know.
We might if he wants first take as the stage, then maybe listen. Let's take it to the stage then. Let's take it to first take.
Well, I couldn't back off.
We can go in the studio. He can come in on camera. You go in on camera. We have Stephen and Molly, you know, referee it and put it up and put the facts up and go at it.
It's fine. I'll be in the back.
Like, yeah. So we can do first take. You know what I'm saying?
He's going to argue something that I'm not going to deny.
No. Hell
he's
no.
He's going to argue LeBron's greatness, and I'm going to be like, yeah, he is great. But on that game, that's the first time I've ever thought this guy looks old. That was my take off of a game.
No, we got to go nuclear. Like, yo, guess what? He'll never win another one.
Well, I mean, I think that's a fair thing to say. Unless, of course, he comes to the Knicks. Then he'll win one.
Exactly. So, listen.
The Knicks should draft Bronny.
So, that's what I'm saying. Let's go there. Let's go there.
Tell LeBron, come to the Knicks. You put him on this team with Brunson and all the Villanova kids. You're winning the title.
That's our angle. That LeBron is like Peyton Manning late in his career. He has to get carried to the finish line.
Let's go. No, he's not getting carried. He would be
if
the
he comes to the
piece.
If he comes to the Knicks, LeBron's gonna have to accept
title
that Brunson's the man up in this piece.
But he can because he could just be the playmaker, the facilitator. He doesn't have to carry the offense like he does
I'm
in
saying.
LA.
That's what
he
I'm
has
saying.
To carry the offense with the Lakers now because the rest of the roster nobody can do it. I mean, come on now, like it's just obvious, right? That's it. That's all we're saying. We're stating the obvious. We're not saying anything more than that. And yeah. Oh, by the way, the take of the day.
LeBron shouldn't be your best player if you're going to win.
The take of the day was that the Lakers should tank the 7-8 game because they don't want to play the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets finishing second was a nightmare to the Lakers. Nightmare. The fact that they didn't get the one seed and the Thunder did, that's brutal. You cannot possibly want the 7th seed. You got to lose that game, get the 8th seed, and then take on OKC, which is the youngest team to ever finish with the top seed in the conference. They have no playoff experience. It's exactly what you want to see in the first round if you're them. And you stay out of the bracket of playing Denver until the Western Conference Finals. That's what they should want to do. It's an insane take because no team's ever going to do this, never going to purposely lose this game. But the right thing and the best thing strategy-wise is for them to do it. It is. You can argue it with your mama. Seriously, argue it on your podcast in your basement that nobody listens to. Because no way you can tell me that the right thing to do is just take the 7th seed and go headstrong against Denver, which is about to win their back-to-back championship. Well, there's no way that's the right choice to make.
Right.
You're going to do it, but strategy-wise, yeah. If we're playing a board game, yes. Hell no.
Yeah, let's hope Michael Porter back start hurting or something before we go.
I mean, Anthony Davis's back's already hurting.
That's why he took the braids out. It was too tight.
Probably.
Pulled it on his back.
All right, lots of calls to get to, 800-919-3776, and plenty of topics to get to as well. We're just getting started here on a Monday in New York City. The NBA play-in tournament gives teams the chance to play their way into the postseason, so it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. I mean, you think about this, right? Like, I think every series, every one of these matchups, I think you take the under in total points. There's not a single one here where you're like, oh, this is going to be a high-scoring affair. I believe it will not be at all. Three-pointers made, I would probably see if you can get the Warriors. You're going to have to, if they're going to win that game, I'm going to need Warriors, over 12 threes made in the game? Just go to FanDuel.com/Allen to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and older, physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So will it be the Heat or will it be the 76ers? That's the question all Knicks fans are wondering for the Knicks in the first round of the playoffs. As for Tom Thibodeau, how's he preparing for either opponent?
Our video guys, our advanced people, the assistants, they're in heaven right now because they're preparing for everybody. So it's exciting. You know, it's a lot of work, and those guys all do a great job, but we have to know everyone well. So once we know who our opponent is, we got to dig in. So we could already start on, we'll have a good idea of the possibilities, and you go from there.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so all around the Garden yesterday, as the Knicks were playing their regular season finale, and I'll tell you what, Bart, what the NBA had yesterday was fantastic because they had the play-in has created now this environment of two-thirds of the league is still engaged in games down the stretch. It still matters to these. So basically the majority of your league still has is playing important games. And so out of the 15 games played yesterday, and it was smart, all the East Coast games started at 1, all the West Coast games started at 3:30, and everybody was done by 6 o'clock. So you knew all the matchups. You knew everything that was going to play itself out. It was great. And then on top of it, you had 12 of the 15 games all had some type of postseason, bless you, ramifications. So when you have all of that built into the final game of the regular season, you have excitement like you did yesterday.
Success then, right?
I think so. And so at the Garden, in a game that went to overtime. Now, the game meant nothing to the Bulls.
They were playing like it meant something. Like, yeah, why do you want us to have nice things?
Well, I'll explain. So the Bulls are locked into the 9-10 game, and they already are set up as hosting the Hawks in the 9-10 game. That's all set. But the Bulls wanted to play the game. Like Billy Donovan wanted to handle it like a regular game because there was a possibility they'd play as soon as Tuesday. Now, they're playing Wednesday, so the West is going to go first because of scheduling. So they'll play Wednesday. But he gave some of their guys a rest in Friday's game with the idea of we want to stay sharp. And they've been playing well down the stretch. So they came to win. And the Knicks were in a situation where if they won the game, without knowing what was going on with Milwaukee and everything else, they knew that they could get the 2 seed. More importantly, they wanted a 50-win season. But the 2 seed was sitting there, and it was like, as you saw the Bucks score, and it was just that Orlando just took over and took the game. No Giannis, and Dame was actually pulled in the game at some point because he didn't look good health-wise. And then all of a sudden, it became this conversation around the building. Should they win this game? Should they win this game? Because if they do, they'll have to face the Heat or the Sixers. Wouldn't you rather face the Pacers? A younger team, not a lot of playoff experience, doesn't really play great defense. Like, why would you want to play two veteran, experienced teams versus the... So that was going on. It's like, I don't know, we should lose this game. They should pull the players up. Like, you had to see it. Imagine that. And the Knicks ended up playing all the way to the end and then ended up getting the win late, although the Bulls did everything they could to try to win that game.
It was exhausting.
And so that's
right?
The thing. So, Bart, as a player, you're not thinking about any of this stuff. You don't care. No, but we're playing to win, so, and I don't care who we're playing.
But I'm sure you looked. They looked up. The Knicks looked up like, come on, man. It probably gave them boost to see that the Bucks were losing. Like, come on, man. We can't lose now, man. And you know, Bogdanovich late, you know, hitting the three when they was down like eight, it seemed like they could never capture the momentum. Mm-hmm. Then they went on that little run, and then, you know, it got good. But, you know, I'm just happy nobody got hurt, nobody got exhausted, because I didn't want to hear that, oh, they're going for meaningful, they shouldn't be trying to win that game anyway. And so I'm glad everybody got out healthy. I'm glad OG didn't hurt his elbow or anything crazy like that. And it's good to finish strong and feel confident about yourself, because it gives you a swagger and a confidence about yourself. How would this team have felt? Then you have to play the reverse mind tricks. Oh, that game didn't matter. Don't worry about it. We lost to the Bulls, blah, blah, blah. We lost to them twice in the last couple weeks. Then you don't want that playing in your mind. We finish strong. I don't care who we get. You want that mentality.
You do. You do. But again, like I was just saying about the Lakers and their matchup situation, like there are a lot of fans who feel like, you know, that you wanted to avoid having to play the Sixers or the Heat right out of the gate, because you just know what that brings in a series, both of those series, with Embiid back and that Sixer team when he's on the floor, they look really good. And then, of course, Miami is Miami. It's Spoelstra, it's Jimmy Butler, it's Bam Adebayo, who seems to hurt everyone anytime you play against them. So those are two very uneasy, uncomfortable series that you feel like could go either way. Like, and that's the thing. Tim Legler was saying this morning, he thinks the Knicks could be a first-round exit or could go all the way to the conference finals.
That's the beauty of it.
He's like, there's no in-between. They're going to either they're either going to lose in the first round or they're going to get to the conference final. Like, that's a pretty wide margin, but that's the reality of the team right now. So I want to know how Knicks fans feel on the day after. Like, are you sitting there now kind of anxious and nervous about the fact that it's going to be either Philly or Miami, or are you like, no, I wanted the 50 wins. I wanted the highest seed possible, and let the chips fall where they may. Josh in the Bronx. Josh.
Hey, what's up? I'm Josh.
How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good.
I just wanted to say I'm extremely happy that the Knicks pushed through and got the second seed, because at the end of the day, they're going to be facing these teams later on in the rounds, and they'd much rather get a head start, play them the first round, cook them up, and – no one's going to beat the Knicks at the end of the day.
Wow. No one's
going to beat them. I'm
really happy. Okay. All right. Well, Josh
I'm really happy.
Good. He's happy, and he feels like no one's going to beat him anyway. I kind of would rather face teams like that later on when maybe they are a little banged up. But
that is sharpening iron. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I hear you. You're going to have to beat them anyway.
Like, where would the confidence be if they slay their nemesis? They might feel like it's their time if they slay Miami.
Who do you think is the better one to get?
Miami?
You'd rather see Miami?
I'm saying if I think a more impactful win, a series that would impact them positively the best way would be beating Miami,
because Miami's healthy. They're
just throwing it aside. Yeah, they're just throwing it aside. Like, yo, we took on Miami and all the adjustments, and we saw everything. We saw every defensive strategy against Jalen Brunson that any other team can throw at us.
That's true. And the physicality is coming.
So it's like, guys, we're ready.
Yeah. The Knicks haven't beaten Miami in a playoff series since 99. I think 99 sounds about right. Josh in Brooklyn. Josh.
Hey, what's up, y'all? How you doing?
How you doing?
Quick segue. I just wanted to say it's real cancerous how bad Aaron Rodgers looks right now coming to the first day of voluntary workouts, man. He's destroying this organization, but nobody's going to talk about that, though.
I detect the sarcasm. I detect sarcasm.
Yeah. He's destroying everybody.
I'll tell you, that was the best slow motion video I have seen since Tim Tebow in the rain, Bart Scott.
But what I want to say, I actually feel like this is the better matchup for the Knicks. Either one of them are the better matchup for the Knicks. The Pacers put a 157 yesterday.
And I know.
Like, 157. Yeah. What's it to ABA?
Offense. Yeah, I feel that way about the Pacers. Yeah. I feel that way about the Pacers because
in a seven-game series, their offensive attack game is nasty, and the Knicks don't have enough.
Right,
that's what I'm afraid of. That's what I was afraid of. Everybody's saying like, oh, if we meet the Pacers, we're going to know the Pacers' offensive attack, and they have T.J. McConnell, who is a pest against Jalen Brunson.
Yes.
The matchup there, like, I'm going to be honest with you, Bart. I mean, Han. They made 4-1 Milwaukee. I'm being complete, because the way they play, they're going to outrun them and outscore them. Damian Lillard's not keeping up, and Giannis is injured.
Yeah.
So that's not a good matchup for those
guys. I think they're going to be waiting in the second round. I'm telling you, they're going to be waiting in the second round, man. Josh, your phone's going in and out, man. We're having issues because your phone goes in and out. Like, we're hearing you, but then we'd lose you. So, but I know the point you're making. And it's like the concern about the Indiana Pacers is how that offense can get going. And I don't know if the Knicks have enough unless they can shut them down, which that's a lot of – it's just too high of a pace. I would not want to mess with that.
Rick Carlisle's another
– and he's a good coach.
It's another guy.
Yeah. You might see them in the second round, though.
Yeah, at least right? I'm warmed up.
You might see them in the second round because they could beat the Bucks. They definitely could beat the Bucks. Ken in Connecticut, Ken.
Hey, what's up, boys? So the analogy that is just sticking in my mind is the Knicks are like B-Rabbit in 8 Mile. It's those final battle raps where Cheddar Bob says to him, "You drew lickety-split in the first round." And B-Rabbit's like, "I don't care who it is." That's who the Knicks are, as tough as nails, like that murder kind of mentality, feeling like they could run through the first couple of rounds and then finally meet the Celtics and Papa Doc and vanquish, get to the finals. Wow. Just saying. I'm not even a Knicks fan, but like that's the feeling that I get from this team.
Because they are a team that's, as we've noticed, like it's hard to kill them, you know? Like, and in a playoff series. Like
on the day that Randall got hurt, I called you guys and I was like, "Look, Knicks fans, don't worry. They are tough as anything. You're going to be okay." And I'm glad to see that it's coming true because I won a championship for the city. So all good stuff. I'm rooting for them.
Thank you, Ken.
So are we back to believing that that the Knicks can be a dark horse and bring in New York the first title? We're not putting everything on the Yankees?
Well, how about this?
Or the Islanders? The Rangers?
Well, the Rangers are right now, like, you know, they're closing in on clinching the number one seed.
And you want them to face the number two seed. And then you want them to face
the Islanders.
You want to eliminate both our chances
in the second round. I don't want it.
You want to eliminate our chances.
I want to see at least these two teams at least advance so that we have a couple of weeks of fun to talk about. But a playoff series between those two teams, Islanders Rangers. Come on now, like that would be epic. Seriously, but. Man, this is where it is right now. This is a fun time of year because it's the spring. You're feeling the weather. Today, by the way, 80. Hit 80.
Bart. Yeah, I thought it was going to be like 70. I went out there. I had like
– Oh, it was nice.
I had the little white hoodie on, mm-hmm. and when it was like – God, I'm like, whoa, this is – whoa.
Yeah, I walked out of –
I think I need some shorts, huh?
Walked out of Seaport after get up this morning, went right out onto the pier, and it was like the minute the sun hit my face, I'm like, I haven't felt this type of sun in a long time.
Did you put some Kulaks on?
No.
You gonna at least let your ankles get some sun?
Today, I will later, but not this morning. Couldn't do that on the set. Is it too early to do the whole right low socks and sneakers on the set?
I wonder. Was
that's a summer thing? Isn't it?
Was that your way? Yeah. The way you were dressed today, was that your way of supporting Jeffrey and saying that LeBron ain't even number one anyway?
Why I went with the Carolina blue?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out. I was like, hey, where's
Ric Flair from?
North Carolina.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying. I want all the smoke. Yes. Buh, buh, buh.
Bring it all, baby. Bring it all. We have your calls. More of them to come. 800-919-3776. 1 o'clock hour. What Brian Daboll won't say about Darren Waller that adds intrigue now to the Giants draft. More to come. Stay with us. Barton Hunt, 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking
Splash! Shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's get all the calls in that we can get here before we... it's so many different headlines to get to. Jets and Giants stuff to get to, 1 o'clock hour. We've already gone the first hour of the show, and Big Mouth Ric Flair, no calling.
Woo! So,
I mean, I think Peter Rosenberg is now trying to negotiate this thing. So we'll see if
I throw him in it. I throw him in it. I threw Petey in it.
Yeah?
Yeah, you didn't see the text I responded to on the Instagram?
I did not realize that there was a text on the Instagram.
You don't even get busy like that. I went on the Instagram. No, I
know you did.
To
you guys jumped in. I know. That was great. So I guess Anthony Pusick is on Team Ric Flair. So his one producer
Judas.
That's
oh
no
God.
Longer friends of the show.
Judas!
Ty Butler, who, you know, I actually was hoping one day could be part of our show at some point.
Yeah.
And he sometimes would fill in. No. He said, also, texted me, I stand with Ric Flair. So yeah, Ty Butler well, now,
he,
out.
He's a, he has a LeBrick James tattoo on his ass. No Diddy.
He's out. Like, everybody knows. Understand, there's no coming back from this. Just choose carefully. There's no coming back from this.
I can't believe Anthony Pusick. I thought he was like family.
Yeah, but, I can't believe it either.
But I guess he's like family off BMF. You know what I'm saying? He's that type of uncle. Or he like the uncle off of Snowfall.
Yeah.
When family become rivals, you know what I'm saying? Or like no. Paid in full. I can smell money.
You learn who your real friends are in these situations.
You know what I'm saying? Remember Paid in Full, Mekhi Fire? He's like, I can smell money.
Yeah.
You're shining. Give me some of that money, nephew. And he just want to end up, kidnapping Sonny. You know, Mekhi Pfeiffer's son, you know what I mean, in the end. You know what I'm saying? It's always family. Always the people who's closest to you, man.
Yeah.
Well, Ric Flair ain't put no food in your belly. Ric Flair ain't never did nothing. He don't even know who you is, son. You side with him, B? Ain't no such thing as halfway crooks, Allen.
I don't know. Dinahan said we got somebody on the line. Who we got? Well, who's I don't know. Who's calling in right now? There's somebody calling in on the private line.
On the hotline?
Yeah. Oh, am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Is this the nature boy?
It's the limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling dealing, son of a gun.
Are you holding those alligators down? Are you holding them alligators down?
I cut myself three times for Bart Scott one night in Fayetteville to impress them.
Yo, those are the greatest chops I ever received on my chest. You know what I'm saying? Those are like, yo, get some slaps on my chest from my hero.
Now, before we begin anything, I need you to assess something that I did today on Get Up and tell me if I'd hit the note. Are you ready for it? This is me on Get Up this morning.
Whoa!
How'd I do?
Yeah, that was great.
It sounds like that was a little bit baritone. I think you're a little bit more soprano when you hit the woo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, we got to get side by side. We'll do a side by side on it if we can, yeah. Maybe, and we'll put that together.
We have to.
But we so anybody who's wondering, Ric Flair has joined us on the show after some Twitter beef that we had going back and forth that had to do with something I said last spring about LeBron James, who I know you are very close to, and I just need to know like because you talked to Shannon Sharp about this on his podcast, then you went to Twitter yesterday, yeah. And I'm trying to figure out. What exactly did I say that sounded so disrespectful?
Well, first of all, I do not think of you as a stupid son. Let's clarify that.
Well, you wouldn't be the first.
I just can't stand. I can't stand the fact, and Bart has to deal with it every day because he. And this is no disrespect to Kimberly Martin, but Kimberly Martin cannot talk to an all-pro linebacker about football. She can't argue with him, in my mind. She can have an opinion. She can be a beautiful woman. She can be knowledgeable. But her opinion, talking to an all-pro linebacker, Bart, you maintain a smile all the time, but it's got to drive you crazy.
Say it again. No say it again, Rick. I am all-knowing.
Huh?
Say it again. I'm all-knowing. So, Kimberly, so when I get on that set with her, she understands. Said, listen, I'm coming from a different perspective.
Yeah, I know. You're coming from a perspective of being an all-pro linebacker.
So you're saying because I didn't play in the NBA, although I did play basketball.
No. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that in America, America is the only country where a guy can have a bad game, a guy can throw a pitch less than if he throws it 100 and he throws it 90 one day where he's old. And it's not you saying it. It's every time LeBron has – every time he scores, one of the announcers, whether it be Doris Burke or whoever it is, 39 years old. Who gives a how old he is? He's still one of the top three or four best players in the league.
See, I said
and
that.
I guarantee you, he's in as good a physical shape as anybody in the league.
Well, the only way 22. You last 20 years, that's how you last 20 years, is that. That's the most remarkable thing to me about him is his longevity.
The guy spends hours conditioning. Mm-hmm. They don't get it. I mean, it's just – and Bart, you know, I love First Take and Take and
– Get Up.
And First Take and Get Up. I watch religiously. But sometimes the criticism and the arguments that come up from people that aren't as educated – I mean, I'm always going to take – I'll give an example. Like, I really think the world of – what's the kid's name to play for the Patriots?
Damon Woody.
Really. Like, I think he's phenomenal. It's like I do you, Bart. I mean, the show when the authenticity of real athletes are there, mixed with the eager, you know, Mike brings all this energy and that, and it's like, but how many times can you go, hey, Bart? How do you feel about that? Aren't you tired of hearing that question? It's just something to drive me crazy. And they're over-talked about. But with LeBron, I mean, if you look at him right now, you know, with Anthony Davis being healthy and if the Russell kid plays well and Reeves and that, if they win tomorrow night, man, no telling what they can do. And then everybody that's criticized him and said he's too old, what do you say when he has a triple-double with 17 assists? What the hell?
We always say the same thing we say. When he has a great game, we praise the longevity and everything he's done throughout his career. I mean, look, if we did it the way you say to do it, the show would be over in 3 minutes. Like, the whole idea is to get a group of people together that have – like, Kimberly Martin's a great example. She has covered the NFL for 15 years, right? Like, she's put her time in.
She's fantastic.
So she has a different perspective than the player. That's just how this all works. Like, we all just, like, get into it and argue about stuff and make it entertaining, and it's fun.
No. But Kimberly doesn't talk about someone's age. You know what I mean? And I just think that it's ridiculous – to throw the number age in there in any conversation.
Yeah, I mean, well, he does. It's like, but he does. LeBron does. Yeah. LeBron talks about his age.
Only when he's asked. He doesn't dunk the ball or reverse dunk the ball and holler out, I'm 39. He don't talk about it. You know what I mean?
You know, to your point, Nature Boy, one of the most sensitive things to an athlete is when people bring up their age and, you know, don't think that
exactly.
They have another key to be great. We watch Michael Jordan. We watch Michael
Jordan.
Yeah,
we
can't
jump
on people anymore. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. What I'm saying is what more does LeBron have to do? And what record does he have to break to be right there with Jordan? And I know Michael forever since he was 19. But I mean, this kid is unbelievable. I met him at the Richfield Coliseum when he was 18 years old. The next day, I think he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I mean, I don't know what more the guy can do.
I think he's right there in the
conversation. And all they want to talk about is it's 39.
Well, because it's remarkable.
You know what I mean?
When you've been on the top so long, you know, people can't wait for you to come down and wait and promote the next guy because he becomes the bad guy.
I understand
because
that.
They're tired of seeing him win.
Well, this is like Max Kellerman used to always predict the demise of Tom Brady, and that only took about 5 or 6 years to happen.
Now you taught me how to be the heel, Rick. When you slapped me on the chest, I went out there and got tapped out by Kurt Angle. Did you notice the heel-like tendencies of Allen? I think Allen would be a great heel. If you notice, he paid homage to you, but it was like a subtle diss. He put the North Carolina blue suit on, knowing that, one, that represents Jeffrey Jordan and yourself. He put that on purpose because he came today, this morning, to get up, and he chose violence. He wanted all the smoke.
I love it. Well, I love you guys. I don't want to take up all your time, but
no, it's great.
If LeBron wins tomorrow night, I'm gonna tweet out Mr. Hahn. May I remind you, kind sir, that LeBron has done it again.
And we gonna make it. If that happens, we gonna make it.
All right.
If that happens,
and please don't tell Kimberly anything bad about her.
No,
yeah, we don't want that.
She's great.
And also, we're going to make Allen Hine. If that happens, we're going to make Allen Hine wear a Four Horsemen T-shirt underneath his suit for the rest of the season.
Exactly.
I'll tell you this: if they
you
win
guys
the game,
have a great day.
All right, Ric Flair, the Nature Boy. Thank you so much. Good to hear from you.
We're going
to
work on that woo too. Allen had too much bass in it.
What are you talking? Hang on a second. That was pretty good.
Nope.
That's me. That's not him. That was me.
I know that's
I'm
you.
Sure, that's me. Listen,
whoa.
Nope. That's pretty good.
That's a little deep, Allen. Nature Boy. There you go. Nature Boy hits that I know. You know what I mean?
That's a real one. That's definitely a real one. All
right. You're the best, Rick. Thank you for calling in.
It's always fun, man.
Thank you.
All right. I mean, this stuff gets crazy, but obviously he loves sports. That's the thing.
See,
I love
that's
the most
you.
About.
That's too deep. That's
what?
Too.
Whoa!
That felt pretty good. That one felt pretty good.
Sound like you was like.
I was. In
I know
mood.
If you. I know if you was howling at the moon.
Listen, I was in a mood. Anyways, I guess the beef is up. I guess it's over. But we'll see. Hey, if they win, then they play Denver. Then we have to put something on the line, me and him.
Yeah.
Put something on the line at that point, but, you know. All right, so whose side you on? 800-919-3776. Always a lot of fun. I guess we put that one to rest. Let's get to more stuff coming up next day with us, Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So Knicks fans are wondering, do they want the Heat? Do they want the Sixers? That for the first round of the NBA playoffs. Now, earlier this morning on DPHR and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said while Knicks fans might not be worried about either team, they're not sure that either team's worried about the Knicks.
You saw what the Sixers were before Embiid went down, what Embiid was doing before he went down, what they are now since he's back. And I'm sure the conversation in Miami is we just beat them last year.
Right.
And we added Terry Rozier this year.
And our coach is better than their coach. And home
and
court
they have no Julius Randle.
Right. Home court for us is not that huge a deal.
For a lot of those teams, that's how they feel. That's why the regular season has turned into such a garbage product.
Well, that stinks.
Because we'd rather be healthy than get home court.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.